I love you.
So here at 242, we're talking about love. Love, though, and so much that that Scripture has to teach us about this. Friends, I've told you already that we're in a place here called 242. 242 worship. We get those numbers from a book in the Bible called Acts. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we find that there's this group of believers, a group of Jesus followers, and they've become this really tight-knit community. They become this community that's all about learning about Jesus and loving like Jesus. And so that's what we are here to do every week. We are a community that's here to learn to love like Jesus. 242, that's what we're all about here. And so, of course, we're here to talk about love, and of course, we're coming out of Valentine's week, where that word love has kind of been the buzzword. Right? Just by show of hands, how many people here would call themselves a Valentine's Day kind of person? And a show of hands, I know you're out there, right? How many Valentine's people are in the house? Okay, a few husbands, not a lot. There's a few. Maybe for the rest of you, it's kind of a rough week. Well, it doesn't really matter whether you're a Valentine's Day person or not. It doesn't really matter here today because the kind of love that we're talking about here at 242 is a different kind of love than you often hear about out there. Today, we're here to talk about a book of the Bible called 1 John. And we're here to take a look at John's words and what he has to teach us about love. You see, John, he was this follower of Jesus. He was probably the closest follower of Jesus. And John, he followed Jesus for 3 years, and he saw how Jesus looked at people. He saw how Jesus treated people. And for John, it was unlike anything he had ever seen. Well, now, for John, it's years later. Jesus is gone, and John is taking a look around at the Jesus followers of his day. And maybe it's those tight-knit communities, kind of like we saw in the book of Acts, chapter 2:42. John takes a look at these followers of Jesus, and he notices something. He notices that they need a push. They need a challenge to look at people like Jesus did, to treat people like Jesus did. And so that's what 1 John is all about. It's this push. It's this challenge to love each other like Jesus. And so that's what we're taking a look at today. If you have a Bible or a Bible app, I'd encourage you to get those out right now and open up to 1 John. 1 John. 1 John, you're going to find that toward the end of your New Testament. It's the fifth to last book of the New Testament. Don't confuse that with a very similar sounding book at the start of the New Testament. That's just John. Great book. Not talking about that today. We're looking at the end of the New Testament, 1 John. And turn to chapter 2 of this book. We're actually just looking at one verse today. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15, and we're going to take a look at what John has to say here. He says some really challenging words here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he says this. He says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Whoa. Kind of packs a punch, doesn't it? That's some challenging words here, right? Full disclosure, this verse almost did not make it into the sermon series here because it's so challenging. There's plenty other places in John where he talks about love. So many places in this book where he talks about love. But this one, this is kind of tough to swallow, isn't it? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, truth be told, you know, when I look at a verse like this, I think, oh man, This is what I think of. How do I get out of this one? Right?
Can a pastor say that? Can a pastor say that?
This is the truth, right? Because you look at this verse and you say, you know what? Wow, like, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble because I like a lot of things. I love a lot of things in the world, right? I love running and working out. I love a good day off, especially when it's like 80 degrees, 85 degrees out there. Just beautiful, right? I love a good day like that. I love Chinese food and hanging out with my wife and my kids. I love watching TV and playing board games. I love it. I love it when pitchers and catchers report, especially when it's the St. Louis Cardinals, right? So good. Who's with me there? Who's with me there? Yeah, we got two. We got two. All right. Now, you may or may not be with me on the cards there, but are you with me on this? This is tough. Right? This is challenging. These are really challenging words. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's tough. Maybe too tough. Right, you look at these words, and truth be told, a lot of times, a lot of well-meaning Christians, that we look at these words, and they're really tough. And because of that, we look at these words and this is how we deal with them. And a lot of well-meaning Christians do this. And I've probably been one of them. We look at these words and what do? We kind of explain it away. We look at these words and say, well, okay. So this verse here, it was originally written in Greek, and Greek has all different kinds of words for the word love. And so there's all different kinds of love John could have been talking about here. So maybe he's just talking about a specific kind of love. And then there's the word world. And in scripture, when it talks about the world, a lot of times it's talking about like the bad stuff in the world, like sinful world, sinful culture, the ways of the world. So we can get on board with that, right? Let's not have a certain kind of love for bad stuff that's in the world. And it's true. I mean, it's true that there are in Greek different words for love. And it is true that in scripture, often when it uses the word world, it is talking about sinful world and sinful culture. But here, I'm not so sure we should be so fast, that we should be so quick to explain that away. I think if we're really up for the First John challenge, we should start by just taking these words at face value, just wrestle with what John is trying to show us here. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Now, John is not saying, he's not saying to hate the world. He's not saying to be indifferent toward the world. He's saying, do not love the world. See, I think John here, he's reminding us something that's so, so important about love, and it's this, that love is consuming. Isn't that true? Love is consuming. Let me explain what I mean. Have you ever had something in your life, something maybe was a hobby, something you really enjoyed, but at some point in your life, you don't know really when it happened or how it happened, it went too far. That thing that you enjoyed ended up consuming all of your time, all of your energy, all of your emotions, all of your everything. Let me give you an example. So it's no secret that I enjoy, you know, being active and working out and crazy mud runs and everything in between there. I'm a huge advocate for being healthy and healthy living. But if you know that world, you know that there's a line. There's definitely a line. There's a line when health, which is a good thing, can go too far. way too far. When life becomes all about a number on a scale or a waist size or muscle gains with the Z, of course, right? There's a line when it goes too far. Ironically, you can love health to the point of being unhealthy, right? Body image issues, eating disorders, even depression, because you can never do enough. You can never do it well enough. So what's the message there? You know, enjoy health, pursue health, but when you love health, it can be consuming. Or how about this one? You know, we're supposed to enjoy our job, right? We're supposed to enjoy our career, right? But should we love our job? I'm not so sure. And hear me out on this, Elise. At least think about it this way. You know, I hope that you enjoy what you do, and I hope that you feel fulfilled by what you do. But loving what you do, that can be tricky. Why? Because companies can downsize, right? Careers can change. Eventually, one day, retirement will come. And if your heart is fully and truly wrapped around your job, when those kinds of days come, those things aren't just bumps in the road. It's disaster. Because love is consuming. This next one's also a tough one, you know, for the parents in the room. Parents, we love our kids, right? And we should love our kids. Do not walk away from this message and say that pastor said we shouldn't love our kids. No. But do you know, maybe some parents are with me on this, sometimes that you can love your kids to the point that it's paralyzing, to the point that all you're doing is worrying and wondering. You want to fix everything and do everything for them. Maybe you're that helicopter parent where, you know, when your child is just overwhelmed and getting way too much homework, and so you call your baby's teacher even when they are a college professor, right? You know how that happens, right? Because love is consuming. It's consuming. Maybe you enjoy traveling. Maybe you have that big trip once a year, and you love that trip. And you enjoy it so much, though, that the rest of your year, the other, like, 98% of your life becomes less than. Not as great. Just something to get through. Way less than. It's love. Is consuming. Maybe you've seen this. Maybe you've tried this. Maybe you've been enamored with a paycheck or a career or a tea time or a team or a video game or sewing or writing or hunting or fishing or biking. The idea of romance. There's all kinds of things in this world that we can chase after. All kinds of things in this world that we can chase after them to the point that they have our hearts. To the point that they just take over. To the point that it hurts ourselves or maybe hurts others. To the point that we don't even care what others or even what God thinks. See, what happens when we love the world? What happens when we love the things in the world? John tells us. Right, he told us in this verse here, what happens when we love the world or love the things in the world? The love of the Father, he says, is not in him. Whoa. And for John, I don't think that that's a warning. I think that's just an observation. Right, because there's no room. When we love the things in the world, when that kind of love takes over our hearts, there's no more room. God gets bumped right out. Because there's no more room. Love is consuming. But you see, there's good news here too. There's good news here. Because if it's true that love is consuming, that must mean that something else is true. If it's true that love is consuming, what else must be true? Well, it must be true that God's love is consuming too. See, the good news here, friends, is that God is absolutely and completely consumed with love for us. And this is what John wants us to see. It's what Jesus wants us to see. You see, God, he knows the things that are in the world. He made the things that are in the world. He called the things that he made in the world good, right? But when God looks at us, of all those things, when God looks at us, it's different. When God looks at us, he is just fully captivated by us, consumed, fully consumed with love for us. I mean, what else? What else would have sent Jesus, God's son, to the cross? What else would have driven Jesus to the cross if he hadn't been 100% completely consumed with love for us? You see, at the cross, as Jesus is dying for us, dying for our sins, dying for the sins of the whole world, what was Jesus saying when he's there on the cross? He was saying, "You're all I think about. You're all that I want. You are everything to me." That's what Jesus is thinking as he's there on the cross. Jesus is saying, you know, you may run and pursue all kinds of things here in this world, but Jesus was saying, I'm going to make a way that I can be with you forever, no matter what. See, friends, God's love is here to consume us today. Jesus is here to take over everything about our hearts today. Okay, so that's true, and it is. What does that mean? Well, what do we do from here? Does that mean that we're supposed to throw everything else away, get rid of the hobbies and the careers and the stuff in life that we really enjoy? No, not necessarily. No. Let me put it this way. Okay, so it's kind of dark in here, right? Imagine, though, if there was absolutely no light. No light at all. And it was just absolutely pitch black. And then me, your pastor, comes into the room and I hand everybody here collectively a 100-piece jigsaw puzzle and say, "Here you go. Here you go." I picked a puzzle because I really enjoy puzzles, right? Perfect for this sermon. And I give you this puzzle and say, "Here you go." How well would that go? Completely dark room, pitch black. How would that go? Not so good, right? It'd be a disaster, right? You'd open the box and you wouldn't be able to see the picture on the front, so you have no idea what you're doing. You wouldn't even know which side of each piece the picture is actually on. Pieces would go missing. It would be a complete disaster, okay? Now imagine the light comes on. The light comes on and it just kind of takes over. You see, light kind of works like love, doesn't it? Because light consumes, right? When lights come on, it actually consumes the darkness. It actually takes over the darkness. And imagine the lights come on and now you can see. And now that puzzle, no problem. 100 pieces, you got this. You got this. You can see the big picture. You can see how everything fits together. You see, God's love works kind of like that. See, when the love of God consumes us, we get it. We get what our lives and the things in our lives are all about. All of a sudden, we get it. The light comes on. We see the big picture. We see how everything just fits together. We say, "God, oh, I get it now. Get it, God. I'm consumed with love for you. And now, Lord, let me honor you with my body. Let me honor you with my job and my hobbies, the ways that I spend my time. Lord, let me honor you with the way that I parent and I love my kids. God, let me enjoy the things that you've given me here to enjoy. And God, let me also be okay with the things that you need to take away. You see, God, let me be someone who's completely and absolutely consumed with love for you." John's words, "Do not love the world or the things in the world." Friends, you know that that's That's living in darkness. No, instead, be consumed by the light and the love of Jesus. Would you please pray with me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you today, and again, God, it's good to be here in your house to take a look at your word, even when your word is so challenging to us. And God, we admit there have been times, way too many times, where we have pursued and pursued and pursued things in this world, God, to the point that they have consumed us. God, we admit that to you today. We see that today, God. We ask, Lord, that instead you would turn our hearts towards your cross, turn our hearts towards you, Lord Jesus, where we see that you have done everything for us, God. You've done everything so that you could have our hearts, you could have our lives, God. Send us out from this place, God, with that kind of consumed love, a consumed heart, God. Let us look at our lives with your love and your light in mind, God, showing us the way, how everything does fit together, but Lord, ultimately how our hearts ultimately belong to you. It's you, Lord Jesus, that we love so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray today. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, today we have something for you.